This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen until 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, yeah, I'll get into the Phil Mickelson stuff a little bit, at least a little bit more than what I already brought up earlier with Stu and with a couple of the other guys. Of course, we'll get to reaction to Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Got to talk some baseball, though. We're past Memorial Day, which means we're starting to figure out which teams are ready to put up, which teams are ready to shut up, and which teams might already starting to think fire sale. And to talk about it all, we welcome in R.J. Anderson, CBS Sports Major League Baseball writer. Follow him on Twitter, at @R_J_Anderson. Were all the other RJs taken before you got your Twitter handle, RJ?
So here's the thing. There is an RJ Anderson out there who is also a writer, and she writes about fairies and, you know, science fiction, stuff like that. So really? She was actually ahead of me on Google results. So you know what? I had to settle for second place there, and I'm okay with that.
What, did you ever read her writing?
I have read her writing out of, you know, curiosity. See, here's the thing. I've got tweets meant for her work where they're like, great book or whatever. And then I am like, I haven't wrote a book. And I look deeper and I'm like, okay, you know what? You actually meant to tweet at her. So I direct them. I direct traffic. You know, if somebody's going to get sunshine directed to the correct plant, right?
Does she ever get tweets like, you're wrong. David Ortiz is on the gas or isn't on the gas. One of the two.
I don't know. I like to think so. You know, turnabout, fair play and whatnot. But I can't be certain of that, unfortunately.
I'm just glad everybody's getting along. Okay, let me ask you this before we get going with everything else. Do you think it was fair that Mr. Met got fired for giving the bird?
I mean, you know, it's the Mets, so I'm not surprised that they fired him. You know, like, even simple PR disaster. I mean, excuse me, even simple PR messes turn into disasters when it comes to the Mets. So I'm not surprised that they made what could have been like a funny but relatively small ordeal into something larger.
Why has this season gone so poorly for the Mets?
I mean, it just seems like every single year they have a slew of injuries. And we're at the point now where you kind of have to wonder, like, I think for me, I'm beyond the point where I'm like, this is bad luck. This is just a group of players who are injury prone or whatever. And I'm openly questioning, like, what are they doing wrong when it comes to their training, their conditioning, their diagnosis, rehabbing, whatever. Like,
wow.
This is well beyond the point where it's just random variation for me, and this is a skill defect as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, it's not just that they're having injuries. They're also having some underperformance. You know, Matt Harvey's ERA is back over 5. He doesn't look that good, and they've had a number of issues. Their bullpen has been worked to death. They're going to run Addison Reed and the few quality relievers they have into the ground. It's just not a good situation right now in New York.
RJ Anderson joining us, CBS Sports Major League Baseball writer. Could Terry Collins find himself on the chopping block because of it, maybe just as a scapegoat almost? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to happen. But here's the thing. There was murmurs before the season that this would be Collins last year anyway. And we know from, I believe it was Baseball Maverick book, that Sandy Alderson's really not a huge fan of Collins to begin with. He's wanted to fire him before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Collins has that most games managed in Mets history record now. There's really not a lot of sentimental or practical reasons to keep him around. So it wouldn't surprise me if Collins gets axed before the season. And if they do keep him around to the year's end, it's just because he's going to have his contract lapse and ride off into retirement anyway.
Give me a percentage chance that Wally Backman's the next manager of the Mets.
I would say 5%. I don't think they want him as manager, because if they really wanted him, I think the change would have already been made, and I think it would have happened years ago. Because even though they've changed executives, you know, their management team, the ownership has been in place. So if that ownership group really wanted Backman, he would have already been there. And my sense is that Alderson probably doesn't want Wally Backman. He probably wants someone who is perhaps a little more inclined to the new age way of thinking. Because that's one of the issues with Collins, is that he's not a progressive manager, so to speak. He's not really going off, you know, what Alderson and that front office likes to subscribe to as far as analytics and new age thinking. So my guess is they would go with someone who is a little bit more open-minded toward that stuff, and I don't think Backman is that guy. And especially, I mean, Backman kind of accused the Mets of blackballing him last winter. So I don't think those, I don't think the two sides are on friendly terms.
I already like R.J. Anderson because he gave me a good, honest answer about Wally Backman when I thought he would absolutely just completely disregard it. I love it. R.J. Anderson joining us on the show. Albert Pujols hit 600 over this week, and nobody seemed to care. Why?
Because he's a bad player nowadays. That's the primary reason. Obviously, 600 home runs is an incredible accomplishment. He deserves to be praised. You know, he was arguably the best player in baseball for close to a decade. You know, no one can take that away from him, but he has really aged horribly. And there are years left on that contract where, you know, we're thinking about, you know, the conversation is going to shift to, can he hit 700 home runs? And it's not because he's talented enough to do that anymore. It's because he's going to make so much money that it's hard to envision the Angels benching him or releasing him. And they're certainly not going to find a trade partner for him. So if he gets to 700, if he gets to, I don't know, if he gets beyond that, if he gets, you know, even if he gets to 650, it's going to be because of the contract more so than his ability anymore. And that's sad because, again, he was a hell of a player for a long time. And, yeah, it's just disheartening that this is what it's come to for him.
I want to ask you some big picture stuff about Major League Baseball. I get frustrated because I don't see enough guys and enough ads. You know, I'll see them during some Saturday games and stuff like that, but not like really solid promotion. Why is that? Why is it just, why does baseball seem to be so, I guess the word would say regional? Is that, well, right. Indians are Indians and Cubs are Cubs and Red Sox are Red Sox with the exception of a couple other places and that's it. Why is it that way?
You know, that's a great question and it's one that a lot of people have tried to figure out, and it's one that baseball seems to be trying to figure out because, you know, there's no reason they shouldn't have had Andrew McCutchen all over the place the past few years. There's no reason Francisco Lindor shouldn't be pushed as the face of baseball right now. I mean, you watch the dude play. He's an excellent ball player, but on top of that, he looks like he's having a blast. He has a great personality. You know, all those things that would make him a marketable face of the face, not only of a franchise, but the face of the league, and you don't see him anywhere. I mean, if you ask a random person on the street, it's not in Cleveland or, you know, anywhere in clear near Cleveland, they're probably not going to know who Francisco Lindor is. And that's unfortunate. And I really don't know the answer to that, why baseball is regional compared to the other sports, other than maybe, I mean, there's so many teams, so many games. I guess that's it, maybe, because you have to really have an emotional attachment in order to follow baseball from April to October. That's my only guess, though. I don't know the legitimate answer to that. I don't know that anyone knows the answer to that, because if baseball knew the answer to that, I think you could see them correct it or be in the process of correcting it. And I don't feel like there's really been much shift either way the past few years.
See, I get so upset about it. R.J. Anderson joining us on the show because I know who Giannis Antetokounmpo is. See, I had to pause before I said his last name. Greek freak. Okay, yeah. I know who that is. He plays in Milwaukee. It's not the biggest market. It's not a bad market. It's not the biggest market. It's in the middle of America. I know who that is. I know who a lot of guys are in the NBA, but there's a lot of times we don't see these guys in Major League Baseball who are good players, who are all-stars, legitimate all-stars, gold glove players. And I just don't see enough of them within promotion of the sport. And I always think that baseball, at least over the, certainly over the last decade plus, has dropped the ball on that.
I mean, look at Adrian Beltre. He is, what, 37, 38 years old at this point? He's been just a joy to watch for the last decade plus. Gold Glove winner. He has a chance. I mean, he's like I think it's like 460 home runs or whatever. He's like the second closest to 600 home runs. And I don't know if the average baseball fan, even if they're a little bit beyond the average baseball fan, I'm not sure if they've heard of Adrian Beltre or if they realize how fun he is, not only as a baseball player, but like as a personality.
Yeah.
You know, where like I'm sure you've seen it, but like, you know, he doesn't like being rubbed on the head. You could have, if he was in the NBA, if he was even in the NFL, like there'd be ad campaigns sitting around, you know, don't touch Beltre's head or whatever. They would have fun with it. Whereas with baseball, for whatever reason, they're either slow to capitalize or they choose not to capitalize whatsoever.
R.J. Anderson joining us on the show, CBS Sports Major League Baseball writer. Well, okay, let me ask you one more and then we'll move on from it. Like, I don't want to sit here and blame ESPN for everything. And I think that, okay, they got to get their ratings. They got to put together matchups on Sunday Night Baseball that they know that people are going to watch no matter what. They're going to watch and they're going to see their advertisers, and that's the way it is. But my God, if I see Yankees, Red Sox, or Cubs and Cardinals, which is, I think, on tonight, actually, any of these matchups, if I see these matchups, like the Mets have been on three Sundays so far this year.
Yeah.
Like, why is this going on this way? Are they just afraid to step out of the box, or is it just, all right, you say you want to see him, our research says that you don't want to see him the way you say you want to see him, so we're going to stick with our ratings.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can excuse it tonight because the NBA finals are on, and I know it's on a sister network of ESPN's, but, you know, they're trying to grab everyone they can eyes-wise tonight, and I suppose I can understand the marquee matchup there, but honestly, I do think it just comes down to dollars. You know, they know that those teams are going to bring in the revenue. They're going to be able to, like, slot that in. You know, that's a surefire, you know, whatever the rating is. I'm not familiar with the ratings that the Yankees or Mets draw, but, you know, that's going to get the advertisers money, whereas if you show – I mean, shoot, you show, like, a Rays Mariners game tonight. Like, is anyone really going to tune in for that matchup? You know, like, that never looked like a good matchup on paper. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword there. ESPN is in it to make money because they are a business. They're one that needs to continue to, you know, flourish, keep their employees employed, and you understand mm-hmm. that part of it. But it is frustrating for the sport when, you know, they're preventing or at least hamstringing the league from growing these new stars because they're not on ESPN. They're not on national television. And there's only so many nationally televised baseball games. It's not like the other sports where you can sit there all day and watch, you know, football season. I mean, CBS shows how many games a week? Two. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a third game on Thursday night, and baseball doesn't have that. They really just have the Sunday night game. There's a Monday night game, and I think a Wednesday night game on ESPN as well. But, you know, that's not the marquee event the Sunday night baseball is. And unfortunately, yeah, it's largely devoted to the New York teams, Chicago, Boston, and St. Louis. And you're right, it's unfortunate, even if you understand the business sense behind it.
RJ Anderson with us. Is Minnesota for real? They're 29-24. I thought they would have fallen off by now.
Yeah, I thought they would have fallen off by now, too. And I'm hesitant to say they're for real, but, well, let me start with this. Like, the pitching staff, you know, Irvin Santana is having a ridiculously good year, and they have really been helped by two factors. And they're both defense-related. One of them is that Jason Cash, who was signed this offseason, he's one of the best receivers in baseball in terms of stealing strikes, you know, expanding that plate, expanding the strike zone. He's very good at that. They basically signed him for 3 years and $24 million just to come in and be a addition to the pitching staff. Like, he's not going to hit a ton. He'll provide some pop against right-handers, but he's primarily there for his defense and staff handling. And the other thing is they have an absurd outfield, you know, Buxton, Kepler. You know, they just go get it out there. And, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot more, to make your pitching staff look better than it is. I mean, the Minnesota Twins have the closer, Brandon Kinsler. He barely strikes anyone out. I think the statistic I looked up about a week or two ago is that among pitchers with 20 or more saves, he has the lowest strikeout per nine rate by 1 to 1.5 strikeouts per nine. He's like in the sixth range, and every other closer is around eight. So he is just like this ridiculous outlier, and it's because of their defense. That's why they're winning ball games for the most part. They are getting some offensive production out of guys like Robbie Grossman and Miguel Sano. I don't think Grossman's going to continue to hit like this. Sano is probably not even going to hit like this. So, no, I don't think they're legitimate in the sense that they're going to continue to compete for a playoff spot. I do think they probably are better than they appear if you just kind of glanced at that roster and said, well, you know, this guy and that guy aren't that great. And who knows, if Byron Buxton ever puts it together, I mean, they have a chance to surprise people, but I'm not sure how likely that is. And I just don't see them being a legitimate contender when the season ends, even if I will accept that they're going to be better than the preseason projections said they were going to be.
Are the Cubs hungover?
That's a tough question, because when you looked at that roster, they had Lester, they had Zobrist, Lackey, you know, they brought in Wade Davis, they brought in Uhara. Those are all guys who have played in World Series before. They've all won World Series before. So you would think, you know, that veteran presence, that experience of having done the whole World Series thing before, you would think they would have had a leg up in terms of, you know, regaining that focus, regaining that composure and whatnot. But their entire team has just been slumping like crazy. You know, Arrieta and Lackey have been bad. Lester and Hendricks haven't been as good as last season. You look at the lineup, and Addison Russell has been horrible. Kyle Schwarber, I know he had a grand slam yesterday, but he's been bad. Rizzo is well off his normal marks. And you can just keep going through the team. And it's basically just dudes being incrementally worse than last season, with the exception of, like, Chris Bryant. And, you know, we're beyond Memorial Day now. You have to start to wonder, when it's a team-wide thing like this, what is going on? I don't know if I'm willing to say, you know, they're suffering from a World Series hangover, but I am curious at what's going on there. And while I still think that they're too talented to miss the postseason, they're too talented to continue to play around the 500 mark, I'm a little bit more concerned than I thought I would be at this point in the season.
RJ, thank you very much for the time, my friend. Truly a pleasure. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.